Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Not Another True Crime Podcast. If you're listening to us, please rate, review, subscribe.
Show us love.
Yeah, give us positive reviews. Don't be a troll.
Don't be mean. I'm very sensitive. Yeah.
Yes, nobody cool that I know is ever
I don't actually care
anybody.
If you're mean as long as you give us 5 stars, to be honest. Like, say whatever the fuck you want about me. Just give us a 5-star
And I will
rating.
Die for your validation. So yeah. That's just where
yeah.
we differ.
Yeah, I sleep in my bed with my phone, so yeah. I need reviews yeah. to watch.
In case you're confused, we have Casey Balsham.
Hello.
Danny Murphy.
Hey.
Sarah Levine. We are your wonderful co-hosts with amazing voices and
yes.
not at all
we're,
annoying laughs and great
Velveeta
laughs.
All
yes.
around. Smooth.
And we wow. don't talk over each other.
Not at all. No, not at all.
We have a lot of opinions.
But you know who does love the podcast? You told me someone
oh,
yesterday
yeah.
that blew my mind.
Yes. Alexis fucking Nyers.
Queen Bee. I love her.
When you texted me that, I was like 3 vodka sodas in. I almost broke my phone. I was like, I don't know what I go from here.
Yeah,
I just
literally.
Like, Alexis, love you so much.
Yes, this and obviously you guys know Alexis from our podcast last week about the bling ring.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And us just overall just loving her and what she's done with her life now. And she apparently also loves us back. So
yes.
do the same, internet.
Do the same.
Yeah, she loves us and also said that we did our research on the podcast. So
have it.
Yes. but yeah, so please rate, review, subscribe, follow us on Instagram, yes. NATC Pod. DM us. We love you guys.
Yeah.
I try to share, like, anytime someone listens to the podcast and puts it on their story,
yeah.
we try
yes.
to share it on ours.
We'll all yeah. share it.
And like, give us, like, suggestions of, like,
yeah.
murders and mm-hmm. crimes and scams that you love that
interact
we might not know
with
about.
Us. Yeah. Yes. We're people. We're here. We're yeah. listening. We want you to be part of this whole thing with us. I mean, that's the whole point
yeah.
of doing it is for other true crime lovers who also have a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? True. Yes.
We do love your guys' recommendations. Like, we did the Maura Murray and Madeline
yeah.
McCann episodes
yeah.
because so many of you DM'd us.
Yeah.
So keep on doing that too.
God bless. Yeah.
Yeah. We love you guys.
To help us out.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's get started with this episode. We're going to play a game that I made up this morning.
Yeah. We are.
I don't know
we're
what
it unprepared.
Is. I don't know. I'm.
It shouldn't be that hard for you guys to think of it. Okay. The game is called, in my best John Ralphio Saperstein voice, The Worst. Basically, just tell me about the worst person you dated.
Oh, God.
See?
I feel like.
I told you it's easy.
I feel like I'm that for people.
No, you're
just
a princess.
Okay, right, thank you. DM me if you're single or in a relationship.
oh my god. He's not kidding. He has all the seriousness in his face right now.
I'm actively not. I think the worst person I ever dated was someone who invited me. Whenever we'd go on a date, it would end up being their improv show without me knowing.
No.
And I fell for it 3 times.
No. I think that's justifiable homicide
no.
also.
And I never felt like, I think I'm like, cool. But then
oh
I caught
God.
Myself in like a jacket with a glass of like Pinot Noir in a corner of this weird improv show where
no.
people were like deep throating slices of cake. And I was like, I need to Olivia Pope out of here. I'm like, this isn't
fucking
working. I was like, I have a deadline. He's like, you don't do work with deadlines. I was like, I'm going. So that
death
was
by lion.
That was that.
I can't
death
believe you went
lion.
To multiple improv shows for someone.
It took a lot out of me. Yes. Yeah. I have low standards. If anyone's listening, DM me.
I just love that you fell for
Cashmere Danny with the K.
Three times.
Once, twice, three
shame
times.
Shame on me.
A suggestion.
Shame on you.
Was it the
same
guy?
Yeah, I got zip, zapped, and zopped. It was not.
Jesus Christ. I hate that.
Holy shit.
I hated that so much. I physically feel ill.
And they were in like Ridgewood and Bushwick. Like they weren't.
Ridgewood?
Yeah. Okay, and I made a rule now. I'm never going to Ridgewood again.
In front of a train.
It's fair.
In front of a train, that person belongs. Oh my God. Well, I have, it's so hard to choose. I've had a great track record with people that have just been terrible. I did date this one guy and I actually have a lot of jokes about him too. But he was just overall just, I mean, he was like an older gentleman from Reno, Nevada.
Maybe that's my first problem. Oh my God, now I'm embarrassed.
Didn't know where he was from.
Now all the people that think that we're idiots, you're right about that one. Reno, Nevada. I'm so sorry, but it's trash. That place is trash. And he had like an adult child. We moved in together after 2 months. It just was not.
Wow.
It was
like, that's like the start of a bad Reddit relationship thread.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was just everything. Like he was a it was just everything. He worked construction. He cheated on me all over the place. He lied about things. He had a BlackBerry, like everything.
Whoa. How old was the adult
He had
child?
A BlackBerry.
He had, it was, a, I think his kid was like 15 at the time.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like, this seems
How
great.
Old were you?
I was 26.
Oh, okay.
I think he was like 38 or something, which now that I'm in my 30s is not that old. But,
yeah.
But at that time, it was
like
just
Little Women. It's like all different generations coming together.
He was the kind of guy that like I would make him dinner, you know, and then I would go to work and then I'd see him post on Facebook like night at home, beautiful dinner, glass of wine. I was like, I fucking made you
Tiger
that.
Bitch.
Yes. Oh, he would act like he was
put
a single bachelor.
Belladonna in his mashed potatoes.
I should have. Anyway, what about you, Sarah?
This is actually very quick because I haven't dated very many people, but my last boyfriend who tried, he almost successfully, but he was like trying to hang out with my roommate behind my back and they were both complicit in it.
Current roommate?
No. Oh my God. Sorry.
I was like,
former roommate. Yes. Not my current roommate.
I'm like,
she's the
tango,
best.
That girl.
I mean, I did. And by that, I mean, I moved across the country and never spoke to her again.
There you go. Either one of them.
Either one.
Yeah.
Goodbye to everyone.
Goodbye to you. Oh, what a song. Michelle Brand.
Here we go. And here's our transition into our story of the day. Take it away, Sarah.
I mean, it does have to do about dating shitty people. Both of the people in our murder mystery today, which is not a mystery, but whatever. Both of these people were shitty people to date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very shitty.
Shitty to each other.
Yes. We are going to be talking about Jodi Arias.
Oh, yes.
A murderer, a psycho,
the
an icon.
Chick in
an
cell
icon.
Block 9.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you're not wrong.
No, people are falling in love with her all over the place. People will get into
I do think, though, once you become a murderer, like the standards for being seen as hot drop tremendously.
I guess you're
like,
right.
Maybe I should just commit a murder to finally like have people fawn over
people
me.
People are obsessed. And then Zac Efron will play you.
Yeah, we talk about this a lot, about how all of our favorite people in jail are all in relationships, and yet we have never killed our mothers or scammed hundreds of thousands of dollars, and here we are.
And
whatever, you know what? I might honestly fuck around and commit a white collar crime if I have to
around,
date
girl,
any
fuck,
longer.
Girl, fuck around.
Yep. Around
all right,
Sarah.
So you'll catch me next to Anna Delvey in prison.
That's the theme of this. Fuck around, Sarah.
Fuck around, Sarah.
What is happening right now?
Actually, like, it is like, the record has to show it is like 200 degrees in here, and I have lost my mind already. Yeah. So we're starting the episode.
It's like heat delirium.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I have a jacket on, but I won't take it off.
All right. That seems like a you problem. Let's get started.
Let's do it.
Jodi Arias, and this is according to murderpedia.org.
Great.
Which is
great
the best
site.
Website.
Great website.
I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
SEO.
Yes. She was born on July 9th, 1980 in Salinas, California to William and Sandra Arias.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of four children, two sons and two daughters, because that's how math works. Jodi was the eldest, and her mom, Sandra, described her childhood as normal and happy. And her mom told Feminist Collective that Jodi left home at age 17 in, quote, a typical teenage rebellion phase and moved in with a boyfriend. And then over the next 20 years, she lived in California cities and did various jobs. At one point, she was a waitress.
Mm-hmm.
She was kind of struggling financially at this time.
Yeah. Jodi also, like, she also kind of claims, here's the thing too, is like, I don't know if she just did this in solidarity with Travis, because we're going to talk about him too, but she also claims that she was kind of like, grew up in an abusive household as well. Although her mom was like, I mean, I did the best I could. I don't think we were.
I don't know. But then no abusive parent really would come out and be like, oh yeah, I totally.
Yeah. But her mom was like super supportive. Her mom showed up every day of Jodi's trial. Not saying that like that's not something that
my parents
would
cut me off for way less than committing a murder.
Exactly. So I mean, it kind of even starts in the discrepancies of Jodi's truthfulness and her lies, 100%. Which obviously play a huge part in this case.
Yeah. I feel like you could see it both ways though, because either like Jodi's being unreliable and her mom was supportive, or her mom was like, oh, I know I was abusive, let me like show up now,
let me try to make
that's true,
do good face.
It could go either way.
We've got a lot of different theories in there.
Yeah. And let's talk about the person she killed. His name was Travis Alexander. Dun dun dun, indeed.
Dun dun dun,
dun dun dun, indeed. Respect for the dead, Sarah. Read our reviews.
No, you know what, I'm okay, I don't have respect for this guy that much. Not because he got murdered, but we'll get into it.
We'll get into
it. He was no saint. No. Okay. No. Not that makes him worthy of getting murdered. I'm not victim blaming, exactly. But it's kind of like, I'm not going to sit here and say that he was an angel.
There's a lot of layers
not.
To both parts of this.
There's a lot of layers. Yeah.
It's very interesting. I'm excited to get into it. Let's
this
start
is
with
a croissant of a case.
That was beautiful.
Thank
yes.
you so much.
You should be a cop.
You should be a cop. They eat donuts, not croissants, Sarah.
Okay, Travis.
Maybe they eat cronuts. It's 2019.
Ooh, They might.
All right. Travis was born July 28th, 1977 in Riverside, California. He's a son of Gary David Alexander and Pamela Elizabeth Morgan Alexander.
That's a name.
Mm-hmm. That's how you know these people are white. They have four names. Yes. And they're all first names. Yes. Wow.
That's true.
Don't trust these people. Travis's parents were not trustworthy. They were drug addicts. The mom was physically abusive per E. Mm-hmm. So Travis moved in with his paternal grandparents at age 11.
Yeah.
Then he becomes a Mormon. He also became a salesman and a motivational speaker for prepaid legal services. And a fun sidebar, prepaid legal services, also called PPL, is a legal insurance company that operates on a recruitment hierarchy. And some people criticize it as a pyramid scheme.
Sarah's favorite
Sarah's
thing.
Fave.
I know. How are we not doing a pyramid scheme this season?
I also love to, just so you know, when I was looking up PPL, I inherently spelled it PLL and then just went down
Pretty
the rabbit
little
hole.
Liars.
Like, I'm like, what is Ashley Benson up to now?
Oh, so, yeah. You're like, what is she doing?
So also, thank Travis for that.
Yes. Yeah. Also, his parents, it's so funny because we were talking about the names. It sounds like, doesn't it sound like it's a very wealthy, like
I know,
they
it's
sound like very privileged.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
I know. I literally, they could have been, you know,
they
rich
might have been,
drug addicts,
but they did
with
have
pill problems.
Seven kids. So that could have,
true.
Maybe. So
that makes you
though,
less rich, I think.
Yeah, probably. So yeah, Travis did come from this giant family and they all kind of got placed in the care of his grandparents. So anyway, Jody and Travis started dating. They actually met at one of these PPL conferences. So obviously if she was struggling financially, she probably was trying to latch on to one of these multi, you know, level schemes or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they met actually in Vegas in September of 2006. I always do that.
Always
do
literally.
That. I'm sorry. 2006. Yeah. 2006. She was living in California at the time and he was living in Arizona. Like we said, she kind of was having some financial problems. Yeah. Obviously, she was on her own since she was 17. So she'd been kind of trying to make it work for herself for a while. The Daily News references actually that she was in a financial sinkhole. So that shows you just kind of exactly how low she was feeling at the time that she met Travis. In November of 2006, she converts to Mormonism and is baptized in the Church of Latter-day Saints. This is before they were really even officially dating, by the way. So we're already seeing signs that maybe Jody is latching on to mm-hmm. this person for one reason or the other, you know, who knows, like, and also
Charlotte,
you know,
and Sex in the City
exactly yeah finding a guy and she's like, oh, you like Mormons, I like Mormons. It's just it's
oh, you guys don't do that.
Yeah, you guys. It's so silly. But within a year they were in a relationship. So finally by February of 2007 he did finally start dating this woman who essentially got baptized for him. And obviously with this religion there's a lot of things with sex, a lot of weird sex things, like as with a lot of these weird religious things that you're not supposed to have sex before marriage mm-hmm. and all this stuff. But you know, Travis, being this guy that he was trying to get around this. He would tell Jody all the time that he had, there was an importance for marriage and family for him, and that made her think that maybe he was going to marry her. But he
all
wasn't.
All the words you want to hear.
All right? The words you want to hear, right? Yeah. But instead, he just used his religious beliefs to have anal and oral sex with her because he thought that that was not breaking the rules.
Right, because it doesn't count if it's anal.
Yes.
Like, that is my religious belief. So.
And
right.
Yeah, I think that's how they first started having sex Jody, I think, was like, you know, it's not ideal, but whatever.
She thought, and like she felt it was like painful, but it was the only way they could do it type of situation.
Yeah. And so they were, so this, I mean, this is where I think like she was kind of, that's really hard for one to be like, I think this guy's going to marry me, but he's only really using me for anal and oral sex. Yeah. And they were having a ton of sex, actually. The relationship only lasted 5 months, but they continued banging for, I think, like a year and a half or 2 years.
Like a while.
They banged for. So it was a really screwy. I mean, I know we've all had relationships that have ended, like, that we've continued sleeping with people, but this was just a really screwed up situation because she really, I mean, she changed churches for this guy. She let this guy do things to her that other people.
And also she's coming from an unstable level of
they're
her.
Both,
so it's like, they're both unstable.
They both were really unstable looking for something. And clearly they found it in this kind of situation. Gross sexual nature. Yeah. I mean, not gross, but I mean the fact that they were, I mean, we'll get into his kind of like dirty deeds later, but they were doing stuff.
yeah, it was not a healthy relationship. In part because Jody was like kind of insane. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a hot take, given that she did commit a murder.
Yeah,
we're not spoiling anything for you, no.
Right? But even before that, she was like kind of an info, which you'd think most guys would be into. But this conflicted Travis because he's like, oh, well, I'm just a good Mormon guy. That's my Travis impression.
Meanwhile, sending her messages that were like, I want to tie you up against a tree.
Yeah, literally.
As your little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah. Literally. According to Travis's friends, like, Jody would be all over him in public, and he'd have to actually, like, push her off of him, which is questionable.
Yeah. Right.
And then books about Jody, like, allege that Travis would have all these deep conversations with her over the phone, but then act distant in person and not call her his girlfriend. I know how that goes.
Mm-hmm. I'm like,
we all do.
Yeah.
We all do.
I'm like, but you told me about your parents on the phone.
After we did anal.
But then here's where Jody kind of gets nuts. Oh my gosh. Okay, here's where Jody like kind of goes off the deep end. So it starts in December 2006. She crashes Travis's Christmas party and was found asleep under the tree the next morning.
I mean,
she was not invited to this party.
Christmas party drunk,
she
though,
just
is
yeah,
a real
thing.
That's a different level drunk.
Different level drunk is Christmas party drunk. But the fact that she wasn't invited.
Yeah, that's a whole yikes moment.
That is a yikes moment.
Then after they broke up in June 2007, Jody was caught lurking at his home eavesdropping.
Yeah.
And then the weird thing is, too, that she's living in California this whole time.
And why
after they break up, she moves to Arizona to be closer to him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's like you were already broken up.
Why would you? Yeah. It's like craziest girlfriend time.
But again, we also don't know what Travis was telling her and what
that
the
is
actual,
true.
You know what
there's
I mean?
A lot of, and I remember there was like a lot of the, none of the phone conversations or voicemails, a lot of them weren't saved or registered for anything like that because this was before anything super insane or police involved happened.
Right. And like I said, I think he wasn't being honest with exactly everything. He was probably also giving her, he was probably fueling a little bit of her fire, especially because I think they would always like have phone sex. And obviously she even wrote a journal entry one time that was like, we fulfill each other's, we've already kind of fulfilled each other's, all of our fantasies. So I'm sure that they were just trying to get into some more dirty stuff. But here's where we get into where Travis, you know, Travis, like you said, he didn't deserve to be murdered, but he wasn't a great person. He wasn't a good guy. He was actually also dating other women during this time. Mm-hmm. He dated this other woman that was in the same faith as him, this woman named Lisa Andrews Diadone. I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but he dated her on and off three different times, basically. And she would suspect that he was cheating with Jody, and he was, and then she'd get back. And she was actually very surprised to find out that Travis wasn't a virgin at the end of all this. Mm-hmm. But she was saying things. Yeah. She was saying things like, it got to the point where I thought that he was getting too physical for my liking. Like, he wasn't respecting my boundaries at all. Like, mm-hmm. I would ask him not to grab my butt in public, and he would. So I think she started to feel like he wasn't listening to her. They didn't hear what she wanted, mm-hmm. and that she was feeling like he just kind of wanted her for her body, even though they weren't having sex. So there's one that kind of backs up, you know, some of Jody's later claims. Mm-hmm. And during the relationship with Jody, he obviously had all the sex with her. I mean, like I said, they were having anal and oral, and eventually they started having regular sex. They were doing all these weird, not weird, sorry, I don't want to say weird fantasies, but they were getting into a lot of different role-playing things. And they were doing this, and then he was calling her a slut for
He kind of would.
He was shaming her. Yeah.
Typical.
He used her for what he wanted her for, and then was like disgusted by her at the same time.
Which I think is part of the whole, like, he was actually just projecting, like, feeling bad about himself.
Because he's
being
probably
this,
so repressed sexually too. With
but he actually, there was another ex-girlfriend that he dated from early 2000s when they were younger. And she admitted on the stand that they had sex too, even though that they regretted it. And then they told the church, like, they were like both on like a mission or something like that, you know, because they're Mormons.
Yeah.
And they actually like told the church, I don't know if the right word is repented in the Mormon church or if that's just a whole church word, but they,
I wouldn't know.
Exactly. But so this guy had been having sex. So Jody wasn't the first person they had sex with, but he was the first person that he called a slut. He called her a three-hole wonder, according to the Daily News, which is just...
Incidentally, my nickname in college.
I know. That was the name of my band in college. That's weird. And then he started dating this other girl, and then he was fucking Jody. And again, he left her this voicemail, this very, very dirty voicemail, telling her that he wanted to tie her against a tree and sodomize her. He also said that when she moaned, she sounded like a 12-year-old girl having her first orgasm.
No. What? How did you find that info out? And where?
For this one?
the 12-year-old girl thing.
Oh, I was like, this one, I was on the internet.
Fucking yikes.
For him, who knows?
I
didn't read that gross piece of info. And
it was when they were interviewing the other ex-girlfriend, and the defense attorney was like, did he ever say this to you? Did he say this to you? Because these are all things that Jody, that were recorded that he said to Jody. So he's like, oh, I guess you guys had a different relationship. Mm-hmm. Oh, he didn't call you a slut? Oh, he didn't tell you you moan like a 12-year-old girl?
Yes, it was
a different.
And that's kind of like, so this was the impetus on a lot of the other things that we were talking about. That Jody started to take things a little too far, and some would say way too far, and ended up taking it beyond far.
True.
So it started out like after things like showing up to the Christmas party uninvited, but then she started sending threatening letters to the girl that Travis was seeing, kind of just like kind of taking attack out on her.
Church threatening letter, though. Like she was like, you're a whore in Christ's eyes, and like weird stuff.
Weird, like,
it's like, okay, Mormon, I know you are, but what am I?
I know.
Yeah. Exactly.
This is my Tinder bio, a whore in Christ's eyes.
Yes.
People are going to love that. Oh, no, but then
a compliment.
She started like slashing his tires, and people were, and that's when people started to be like, oh, this girl, like, this girl is dangerous, and Travis was even starting to get a little terrified of her, which is like kind of a
not even though switch. Even the whole time, even right before he got murdered, all his friends were like, dude, this girl's gonna kill you, and he was like, no, she's harmless. And I'm like, harmless? She slashed your tires twice.
She stole from him and then like tried to hack his Facebook account, which is kind of on the lower tier of all the things that
he probably
done.
Just left his account log in.
I'm like, we've all tried to do that. So she kind of like, they're after a certain point, she was like,
then it just got obviously insane. The reason why we're here, June 9th, 2008, Travis's body is found in a pool of blood in his shower in Arizona by his friends. He had a gunshot wound to the head, more than two dozen stab wounds.
Yeah, I think it was 27.
And a widely slit throat, which the Huffington Post described as ear to ear, and I actually saw a picture of it. Truly wished that I hadn't.
I was gonna look at
it. Was
photos
haunting.
And I was like, I can't.
It was like, are you sure? I was looking through the crime scene photos, and it was like, are you sure you want to proceed? And I was like, sure. And then I was like, oh no, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
He was stabbed at least 27 times, and there was like a bloody print on the wall. And so his body was found June 9th. His death
handprint, a bloody handprint.
Yeah. Okay. His death actually occurred 5 days prior on June 4th, 2009.
Because his roommate was kind of just like, oh, I guess he's away, or I can't really.
Yeah.
I think they just started to question, like, he just wasn't calling people back.
Yeah. Right.
I think they just, because it's, I think they also had to break into his room.
Yeah. Because they found a key that it
they found it because it was in his room, and then they saw that there was just kind of like blood pooling up
everywhere. Sometimes I kind of feel like, what would it take for someone to actually like report me as missing? Like, how long would I have to go not texting people back?
My Dunkin' Donuts girl would know from me, because I go there like 3 to 4 times a week. She sees
the real MVP.
She's like, where's that large iced coffee with a side of hash brown?
I saw your story. That was so funny.
That's so good.
Yeah, I think my bodega guy would be like, she's not drunk at buying avocados and candy.
I mean, the crazy thing is, I don't even see my roommate very often because we're on like different schedules, and she travels a lot. So I'm like, every so often, if I don't see her in a week, I literally will text her to be like, hey, are you still alive?
Oh, yeah. I used to get that from other like roommates, especially after like a couple nights out. And then you know how you just like hide out in your room for a couple days.
Yeah.
But how like weird would it be really to get the hey, are you alive text from a roommate and then you're not? Oh. That would be. We went there. okay. So Travis is murdered on the 4th. His friends find him. So obviously there is an they're trying to find who killed Travis. And apparently his friends kind of led the investigators to Jody. They were like, this bitch was crazy.
Because she wasn't like covert about her feelings or
no, fucking lurking around his house.
Slashing
she actually went after she killed him. She was meeting up with another guy in Utah. So she was going on another like sexual tryst
this
with somebody.
I don't know how geography works, because I'm like, how do you get from California, Arizona, Utah? Like,
it's
where?
Not that far.
Oh.
So of course, Travis being murdered, they had to launch an investigation, and a lot of his friends actually went straight to saying, you know, he was kind of dating this girl that was a little bit psycho, that, you know, slit his tires and did all this stuff. So she obviously is called in for questioning, and she at first initially just denies that she was even in town. She's like, I wasn't even there. And then after a while, she claimed that her and Travis had sex, and then intruders broke in and attacked them and killed Travis, and she got away. And then finally, she admits that she murdered him in self-defense because he abused her mentally and physically. She claimed that she had dropped the camera. And you see, she actually, there's pictures. This is one of the most wilder parts of this whole thing.
Because they found it in the washer machine.
Yeah, she was trying to, she literally was trying to wash
the evidence. The,
yeah, she was trying to wash the card.
A digital cat, yeah.
Yes. So she claims
why
that
not
after
just
they
flush
had,
it down the toilet?
Why not just take it with you and just fucking run over it with your car or do
yeah,
something?
You're right.
Or keep,
yeah,
that's
throw
what I keep it.
In
yeah.
the same house.
Downey ain't going to do that, yeah.
So, but you know, this goes along with a lot of her claims that she was not in the right mental state and she yeah. didn't remember doing anything. But essentially, she says that she dropped the camera when she was taking pictures of Travis showering, which were the last pictures of Travis ever alive. Yeah. And then he got mad and threw her down and then picked her back up to hit her again. And so eventually she says, okay, this is self-defense. And she says that she remembers shooting him but not stabbing him, which then comes into play because a lot of people don't know which came first. And there's been a couple different like reports.
The chicken and the egg.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
yeah, which came first, the chicken and the egg. But then she accidentally took a picture of her own foot. She took a bunch of pictures of
and, like,
his
nude.
Body.
Yeah, this
she
is like in the shower.
Too, right?
How to commit a murder 101.
So
don't record yourself committing the murder.
No, essentially,
and this was before social media, really. Like, you're not Instagram storying
no.
this. This was on a digital camera.
She took, so here's the sequence of events. What happens is that her and Travis took a bunch of naked pictures together. They had sex. She took a bunch of pictures in the shower and then she killed him. And then she took a bunch of pictures of him dead in the shower.
With
and
her foot.
I know. One of the creepier things
so
that they
crazy.
Saw, they said when they were looking at the picture of Travis in the shower, they could see her reflection in his eyes.
Yo, that's eerie and going to haunt me forever.
Yes, which is crazy. And I just want to also talk about how, you know, the behavior that she displayed in the interrogation room, which also kind of was never shown to jurors, obviously, but it made people kind of be like, what the fuck is this bitch doing? So when she came in, probably, I don't know, the 100th time or whatever, after she had changed her story
yeah,
so many times,
I mean,
they have the video on of her in the room and she starts doing like a headstand. Like she starts doing yoga poses in there.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
And then she randomly is just sitting at a table by herself and she starts singing Dido. Like she starts, she's just sitting there.
Hour,
yeah, she's going, I won't breathe, and you're like, this it really doesn't help her I'm not crazy defense.
Doesn't yeah. really yeah
no. And then she literally cries to the guy who's like, okay, we have to take you in. She's like, I'm so sorry, this is gonna show how shallow I am, but can I please freshen myself up before my mugshot? And they're like,
you know what,
not at all.
That's relatable content.
A little bit. Yeah. But so a screw was definitely loose for her to take these pictures.
Yeah, more
yeah.
than a few yeah. screws were loose.
Every screw, yeah, it was like a shitty IKEA furniture. Yeah. So
yes.
Obviously the trial starts because this girl is most definitely going to trial.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it begins in 2013 and it's streamed online, yep. which is
that's
I
like Black Mirror
that's,
shit.
Well,
that's
a lot of
weird.
People blamed the judge. They said that she allowed it to get to be a circus. Because
yeah.
I mean, obviously you have to. She's got to.
Oh
okay
yeah.
Because that's
that.
How. Because I mean, everyone knows about the story because it was so talked about and kind of getting.
Yeah, we watched
so
it.
Much, we watched it. We were
we
talking about it on
it.
Twitter on everything.
Yep.
It was just like it was primetime
yeah.
television.
Yep.
So the defense, and this is largely from CBS News. We got the information from. Jody took the stand for 18 days.
Too many days.
Which I think that would break. And I feel like that would break. I mean, obviously,
yeah,
I think she did it, but that would just break
time.
Or give insanity to everything. And that's where even like the jurors and people are saying, this is kind of insane that she
yeah.
had to do this for 18 days.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, too, that a lot of the jurors, they were losing some of them because of how long the case was drawing out.
Yeah.
Like one got a DUI.
Yep.
One like
oh
one got
God.
Expelled. And I was just like,
yeah.
we're dropping like flies
One started
here.
To fall for like
yeah,
really started to fall for. So he couldn't like. He
oh,
couldn't
yeah. I remember
excused.
That.
Yeah. So that's like, yeah. this was a drawn out case that was getting so many levels on it.
A lot went on.
Jody claims that she killed Travis in self-defense
mm-hmm.
at first, but then, and doesn't remember stabbing, like you
yeah.
said. And Dr. Richard Samuels testified that she had PTSD, but at the time, Dr. Samuels administered the test to diagnose her with PTSD, and she was still claiming that, like, intruders killed Travis. So this was sort of when she was still, like,
yeah.
fabric her story
right,
was, like,
so,
a
like,
choose
the test was
adventure.
Administered too early, basically, to even be
yeah.
useful at trial
yeah.
because
yeah.
she was still lying about
so
the entire circumstances.
Her, like, it was based on a false
right.
narrative that she
exactly.
was spewing people. And this is when she started to kind of what you said at the beginning. She was claiming that as a child she was abused and beaten with a belt by both of her parents.
So it,
kind
like,
of
triggered
a
her
a trigger
when he did it.
Situation.
Yeah. That's also wild. Also, I think Richard Samuels was the doctor that ended up also falling for her.
I
and
think
so they threw out part of
yeah.
his stuff.
What? You
he,
know what?
He's
Jody,
sort of sympathized
please,
there. Mm-hmm.
She needs to write a dating advice
yeah.
book. What yeah. is she doing?
Yeah.
Or release a Fashion Nova line. I'm like, I'll wear it. I'll wear
Yo,
it.
I would wear the shit
yeah.
out of that.
I also feel like they diagnosed her with PTSD. They diagnosed her with multiple personality disorders. They like
diagnosed her with all kinds of things.
But was that by like her defense team? Because I could see them just diagnosing her with a bunch of shit to try to like.
It's like when you're like, you're like actually crazy right now, and you're like, no, she's a murderer.
Yeah. At one point in 2011, she actually, they let her represent herself for a minute as long as her defense.
Oh my God.
Ted Bundy status. Ted Bundy status.
As long as her defense counsel stayed on as like advisors or something like that. But then she demanded that these letters get put into play. And then it turns out the letters were forged. So the defense was like, and we're going
to
go.
Like to everyone listening, never defend yourself at a trial.
Literally, never. This is not Law and Order.
Even if it's like a parking ticket, and I'll get that. You're right to an attorney. Get that attorney.
Nobody's that compelling.
No.
Except for apparently Ted Bundy.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't watch it, but apparently.
Yeah. No. Ted Bundy was not good at being his own lawyer. No. It was funny because he thought he was like, hey, gotcha.
Right?
And the judge was
and
like, dude, no. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
And also, Lily Collins wasn't good in that movie, but we'll get into it later.
Yeah.
I need to watch.
Yeah. We don't have the time today, but I agree
DM
with Danny.
Yeah.
Definitely DM us about that movie.
Do you want us to do Ted Bundy? Let us know. We've got a couple ideas for other episodes, but if you would want to see
I have
Ted
strong
Bundy
opinions about Ted Bundy, so I'd be down.
I still don't know. I need to watch because I don't know that much about him, so I'd be interested. But let us know if you want us to do Ted Bundy.
Just
throw
it
out there. Yep.
Yeah, NACC pod.
Yep.
And let's go back to Travis Alexander and his murder. Your regularly scheduled programming.
Yeah, back to your regular schedule.
Yeah. Okay, so basically, just to recap, Jody's defense was largely that she killed Travis in self-defense after trying to claim that it was a robbery gone wrong. And so there's a lot of reasons why this didn't hold up because it was false. However, let's get into some of these reasons why her defense fell apart. Number one, she drove from California to Arizona to commit this murder.
Car in California.
Yeah, she bought extra gas cans so she wouldn't have to stop at a gas station. So that after the murder, so that just like obviously implies a level of premeditation.
Yeah.
She also dyed her hair before the trip. Again, premeditation. When she rented the car, she put the license plate upside down. Wouldn't that make you more?
Yeah, I
that's
feel like that would highlight
get stopped
more
for doing that.
Yeah, you'd be like, what's this idiot?
I feel
you're
like
the
you
girl
get,
with like a new bad hair done, like. License plate flipped, reloading your own gas on a highway. I feel like a cop would be like, where do you think you're going?
I think you'd
like
be more likely.
Questions for you.
And Jody claimed that the trip to Arizona was spontaneous, but like literally it's like you clearly planned all this weird shit
on
so
her way to
no one
Utah.
No one randomly wants to go to Arizona.
No, right. That is a fact. No.
Sorry anyone in Arizona. Let us know how pretty it is.
Invite us though.
Another fun thing, and I kind of remember when this was happening in real life, was like Jody and all her like fucking crazy media appearances because I'm sure her counsel told her not to appear in the media, but this bitch was like no.
All over the place.
Literally
she
all over the place.
Notoriety.
She gave so many interviews against legal counsel.
Yeah. Literally. And they all just like fucking tanked her credibility. She wrote Travis's family a letter claiming that intruders killed him, and she described a male and a female assailant. She also gave interviews to 48 Hours and Inside Edition after being arrested. Let's just play some of these clips because she was so fucking confident that she was going to get away with it.
Yeah.
And here's a clip of like one of these interviews that she gave.
You know, one day I will have to answer for all of the things that I've done, and knowing that this isn't one of them is a very comforting thing to know.
Wow.
Damn.
Did not age well.
No.
Wow.
So at this point, she's still claiming that she didn't kill Travis. And then let's hear the other one because I think it's hilarious.
Okay.
I don't know what you mean by that because I've told the truth.
Okay.
I didn't know that you were a hater when you came to interview me.
I'm not.
Jody.
Yeah, that's totally the real issue here is that this guy's being a hater.
Yeah. She was also famously quoted in saying, like, no jury will convict me because I'm innocent.
And she was like, I thought I'd be dead by the time I got to
I know.
She
was murderers like, at that time, like, yeah, it's like, you guys are really fucking confident. Yeah. I need the confidence of a murderer, I guess.
Know. Yeah.
These people are, wow.
Joe Day.
Yeah. I think also her, like, defense hinged on this abuse, which was never reported, which, I mean, like, obviously we all know that women don't always report abuse, so that's not, doesn't mean it didn't happen, but it really didn't help her defense.
No, her mom kind of came forward and was like, oh, she kind of told me I would see bruises on her and sometimes some scratches, but like those also could have been from like the rough ass sex that her and Travis were engaging
in.
It's
just hard because obviously you want to believe victims, but this one is a super unreliable narrator.
Very muddled everywhere.
Yeah, everything's really hazy. Yeah.
I also think the point at which she kind of really lost the jury was she tried to claim that Travis was a pedophile and had a photo of a little boy in underwear, which was where people just really lost it.
She like, claimed, how did this come out of like left field right
she
now?
She claimed that she caught him masturbating to a photo of a little boy, but she didn't put it in her journal. In fact, on the day that she apparently saw that in her journal, she was like, nothing new to report today. And so the people were kind of like, wouldn't you think that would be something like, weird? And then they showed text messages and still she never like addressed it. But then if he said something to
then
her
again,
like,
with the moaning comment,
like a 12-year-old girl is a bit fucking gross.
It's gross. Yeah.
That's gross. That doesn't make him a pedophile, but I don't know. That's just a weird, it just seemed at that point she was just kind of like throwing a bunch of stuff to the wall to see what would stick. So she was like, let me just accuse him of being a pedophile.
That was the issue. Even what is true and what's not true, you can't tell because you're like, I don't even know where to start with you. You're just rubbing this lie.
And they checked his computer, and at the time they didn't find anything. And I think when they rechecked, they found porn, but I don't think they found kiddie porn. Which is
vast difference between the two.
So sad. So the verdict ended up being that she was sentenced for first degree murder.
Surprising no one.
Yeah, nobody. The thing that was actually hard for them to come up with was that whether or not to give her the death penalty.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's where the jury was hung a few different times. And so they had to keep kind of going back to do this. And like, I think at one time it was like 7-3 or 4. Another time it was 11-1, which was that juror liked her.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And eventually the same judge they accused of like making this a whole media circus, eventually just ended up giving her life in prison. And Jodi has been quoted to say before that she actually would rather get the death penalty than spend her life in jail.
She said that like early on.
Yeah. And then she ultimately took it back. She's like, well, this whole thing has hurt my family so much that I guess it would just be so much more painful if I got the death penalty. Mm-hmm. So
more expensive.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
For taxpayers.
Exactly. I mean, as it is, this trial, Jodi Arias has cost taxpayers $3 million. So, I mean, if there's anything a jury should think about when they're being like, maybe she murdered somebody. I mean, she said she did. Just fucking convict them because you're wasting my money and I don't make any.
Don't make like court cases like a media spectacle and like.
Don't put somebody on a stand for 18 gosh darn days. It's so silly. So they convicted her and it took a year and a half to get the sentencing because there was just retrials and juries.
Yeah,
and
I remember
this
when this was happening, when they would just like the jury would get hung.
Yeah.
Whatever. And they would keep having to like redo this, and it was such a debate in the media. And I was ongoing. Like, just give her life in prison, because if you give her death row, she's going to keep appealing and it's going to cost taxpayers more and more money. Yeah. And it's like, let's just be done with it.
And she already has appealed. She had something that got delayed, but then I think she ended up getting an appeal later, which I think we're going to talk about when we talk about our updates. Mm-hmm. But in October of 2017, Jodi actually sued her defense attorney, and I forget what his name is, Nurney or something like that. Sorry. She sued him because he ended up writing a book, and she was like, this is not okay with me.
Why don't you tell them what the book was called?
The book was called Trapped with Miss Arias.
Which is hilarious.
Like, he actually...
That is like... cheesy romance novel title.
And he actually, when she sued and she was like, buddy, you can't do this. I told you these things in confidence. He actually blamed her. He's like, she's just abusing me the same way she did with Travis. She's just acting like she's a victim. So this guy is just a nerd. So she actually also alleges that this guy had one of her like sexy photos that she had taken as his screensaver on his computer in his office for a while.
Oh my God. You can't be doing that shit on your work computer.
No.
We should, if there's anything we know about work computers is that you can't do that there.
literally the one thing we know.
He eventually agreed that he absolutely should be disbarred after Jodi's legal team was like, fuck dude, come on.
We mean she filed a complaint with the State Bar Association.
Yeah. And he was like, I guess this is right. Martinez.
Literally.
Yeah. The prosecutor also wrote a book. He ended
Novelists
up
everywhere.
Yeah. He didn't end up getting disbarred, but Jodi also tried to sue him, alleging that he leaked details to a blogger he was having an affair with. And in his book, he alleges that one juror holed out and wouldn't give her the death penalty because he was smitten with her. So that's where we got that from that. But so, yeah, apparently everybody was trying to... what I hate about this, it's like you're trying to cash in on this situation.
It's so slimy.
Inside
and
way.
That's
it's
like,
so
that's
gross.
Not what your job... Like, if you were the blogger who was covering this, maybe you can write a book if you want to. It's kind of distasteful.
We
but
can
sure.
write a book about it.
Yeah, but like if you were her defense, or if you were like remotely like legally involved, like stay in the lane that you were hired to do, and also be ethical. Like,
it also doesn't that I mean, she did sue her defense both lawyer for violating attorney-client privilege, which like we're not lawyers, but seems like it would clearly would do that.
That's okay. I know we know confidentiality is a word.
Like I get the prosecutor doing it because prosecutors are fucking jerks anyway. But the defense attorney. I mean, come on. And it's her guy.
Well, the prosecutor was very slimy in so different ways.
And some updates about him, Juan Martinez. He became the deputy county attorney eventually, which, like, failing upwards, I guess, or just being a skeezball upwards. But the ACLU is working to get an ethics hearing called on him.
Yeah.
So God bless that.
For many reasons.
For many, many reasons.
Yeah, because this is when they tried to appeal that he was so unprofessional.
Yeah, yeah. So, and like complaints are over a 10-year period where he was prosecuting 5 different cases where like most of the issues that the ACLU and people have with him aren't really about Jody.
Right.
Jody's
no.
case.
Yeah, him being
except
a dirtbag.
Him being a dirtbag. And he remarked that if he were married to defense attorney Jennifer Wilmot, he'd fucking want to kill himself. Like just saying things unprofessional and awful and just disgusting.
Which he didn't just say like at the bar or whatever. He said that during a sidebar at the judge's bench during the trial.
That is your book, not the bar, the sidebar. And it's like, sidebar. I don't know. There's something we can write it.
I like it.
But he was like abusive to her. So he's telling her to go back to law school and things like that. He compared the actions of a Jewish defense attorney to Hitler.
Yeah, so he was a great guy.
Yeah, so that's why the ACLU is looking to check him out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He also apparently didn't, he like bullied like kind of completely lost his shit and badgered and bullied a couple of the witnesses. That's why they were.
Yeah.
And apparently this dirtbag signed autographs outside the courthouse. Meanwhile, alleging that Jody was only doing things
he's
for fame. She's
Lori
like,
Loughlin.
She's like, I wasn't signing tits outside the courtroom. So maybe you're the one that wants to be famous.
So he's trash.
Jerk. Trash. Garbage.
Yeah. But as far as his thing with Jody goes, Jody is appealing her conviction, or she did appeal the conviction on the grounds that basically the prosecutor fucked up. So basically she alleged that Martinez improperly questioned witnesses and courted news coverage, like we kind of said with the autographs too. In January 24th, 2019, the Arizona Attorney General asked the court to uphold the conviction, which obviously is going to ask the court to uphold the conviction. But that's kind of like the last update we have on the court case. I mean, I personally don't think that Jody's ever gonna get an appeal.
She won't.
Once you get convicted, the system is designed to keep you in prison.
And also this
and she very clearly did this murder.
And also like, this case was so popular. Like, you can't just be like, actually, no, sorry.
Right. It's like obviously she's going to try, but it's like the system's not designed that way.
Confessed.
And I don't think she really has a leg to stand on.
Didn't you say also I was gonna say I feel like, Sarah, you said that she's also kind of like killing it, no pun intended, in prison.
Good pun. I like that.
She's killing it in prison.
She's doing great. Sandra Arias, in a 2016 interview, said that Jody is constantly cheerful, which is weird if you're in prison, but whatever. She's organizing a library for her prison unit. And here's like literally, we have the tea. So one of our Instagram followers, Fiona, DM'd us. Because her friend is in prison right now with Jody.
Fiona, God bless
this
you.
This is real firsthand tea. You will not get it anywhere else.
Yes.
Okay, so apparently her friend says that Jody is the librarian, and she also teaches a class on the laws of attraction. So BRB, gonna commit a capital murder in Arizona so I can teach this, or so I can go to this class.
That class, yeah.
Jody. Literally, I need to take Jody Arias'
class.
She
found her calling. She was struggling on the outside, but apparently on the inside she is...
She's very good at attracting people. Yeah,
this is true. She attracted a doctor, a bunch of guys, and a juror.
Well, she apparently... Okay, so number one, the friend said that she's a surprisingly nice lady for being a crazy killer, which... Okay. And speaking of all her boyfriends, I don't know who she's dating right now, but apparently he's really rich. And this friend said that Jody, as of late April, she recently got in trouble for, quote, having her millionaire boyfriend bring her alcohol pads because she does tattoos in prison now.
Oh,
stop
my God.
Stop it.
Jody.
She has a side hustle on the main gig.
Artist.
Yeah.
See, she really is being her best self.
And yeah, she's doing it clean. Yeah. Alcohol pads.
And what's interesting, though, is with alcohol, but she's not trying to get anyone infected. Yeah. She's trying to change her life around. they said, too, that her mom was like, she's got a boyfriend, but she's never had conjugal visits. So maybe this is what Travis wanted.
I don't want to have real sex.
Literally.
Yeah. Because if she was able to, like, attract a juror just from, just being in the same courtroom.
Yeah.
Literally.
She doesn't need conjugal visits. What does she need it for?
No, apparently they like
it. It's admirable. Kind of.
She was actually quoted in saying, I'm getting so much love in jail. She's like, if this is what it's like to be hated, keep on hating. I just also want to mention that.
We'll
link this
an
on,
icon.
Yeah. We'll link this on the Instagram, but she had this conversation with a rapper and their,
which rapper?
I forget what his name was. He's not like a popular rapper, but it's the link that I sent you guys.
Just like a guy who raps.
who met with her to talk about
Lefty.
Lefty. There we go.
Lefty.
So there's a whole music video, proclaiming Jody Arias's innocence. So we'll definitely link that, but it's comical. It's a bunch of pictures of her and he's like, Jody growing up this way. And I am not an
icon.
So good on you, Jody.
Good on Jody.
You got a music video made about
More than one music video, more than all of us combined.
Yeah, I don't know a music video.
I don't think there are even music videos about Ted Bundy.
Facts.
We can make that.
Yeah, we'll make that.
Yeah.
Write us, tell us if you want us to make a video about Ted Bundy.
Yes.
I'll find a beats guy.
What are your guys' overall thoughts on this?
I think that it is... So even when I was doing some more research about it and even just knowing it in general, I do think it is insane how media crazy the case got, where it's sort of one of those things where it's like, obviously, I mean, like, we're doing a podcast about crimes, but more so a lot of them I feel like should be touched on after the fact versus this one. It just even watching the Ted Bundy, I'm like, interweaving media actively with these cases are so insane. But I do think that in this instance, Jody did do it. So,
100%.
Without a doubt.
Yeah,
literally.
I mean, I feel like we touched on before that Travis, while he didn't deserve to die, was not a good person, and I think this just ended up being,
or at least he wasn't like a good guy to Jody.
He wasn't a good guy to Jody, and Jody might have had a couple screws loose, but she was also, I think, being really fucked around with by a guy that she like. Even her sister, I think, was like, she was literally so in love with this guy that the reason why she didn't speak up about the abuse, she didn't want anybody to think bad of him.
Yeah.
She didn't want people to think bad of him, which I think is a true which makes me kind of give a little sympathy to her as a victim. I mean, again, you don't kill someone because you're mad at them.
But she doesn't seem like someone who rationally takes emotions from A to B. Like, she clearly went from A to Z.
She's not just having like a wine night to be like, fuck guys. She's
But I will say though, like, I think as this was happening, I remember like in 2013 or whatever, I was like, oh yeah, this bitch is totally nuts. I feel like, unless I'm just falsifying this memory, which is possible, but I feel like I might have been in Arizona while her crazy interviews were going on, because my grandma lived there, and I feel like I remember my dad making a comment about how she's crazy, which is true.
She gave an interview the day that she was found guilty.
But I just felt
girl's booked.
Felt like as I was researching the case, I was kind of like, you know what? I sort of understand. I get it. I empathize a little bit with her because I'm like, I don't know. I just feel like you get to a point where you're like, if I have to deal with one more asshole, like if one person just pushes
I'm gonna snap.
Like, I mean, if I deal with a Travis,
snapped.
Literally.
Yeah. I'm like, I obviously what she did was terrible and disgusting and like reprehensible, but I kind of see why she did snap.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand all the facts.
100%.
I understand all of,
like, I
everything.
Can understand why she's like obviously insane and doesn't like approach relationships like a normal person, so she like throws her life, changes her religion for this guy. He's kind of like, ew, I want nothing to do with you, and I get why she would snap.
But I'm also glad that she kind of blew up his case and saying like, this guy was the guy. She also claims that like she woke up one time and he was having sex with her, which is not consent, you know.
No, that is,
she's like, and rape. She in her whole thing too, she was like, well, maybe I went to sleep in his bed, maybe I asked for it. So like there's a lot of victim-esque stuff. There's a lot of stuff there. But I am kind of glad that she blew up his spot to kind of be like, listen, he wasn't a great, I mean, I, you know,
if what she's saying is true.
Yeah. I mean, but it's
because
like
I think his family is
the text.
Right.
The text like, the we call, know that there is a lot of truth in like the sexual nature of their relationship and how
definitely
kind of, you know, all the lines that were kind of not really drawn clearly and crossed and that Jody kind of went along with, even though she says she didn't want to do all of that. But yeah, there's a lot of is it true or isn't true? But I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy.
That is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Well, I think we just about, I was going to make a bad joke. I'll do it. Beat this to death. I'm going to hell.
Sarah. It's
fine. I'll see you guys there.
1 point, Sarah.
You're three holes. My God.
Oh, my God. I'll see you guys there. If you liked this episode, please rate, review, subscribe us iTunes or wherever you're listening to
us.
Wherever
you want to listen.
Yeah. Follow us on Instagram at NATC Pod and also DM us because we love you guys. We love hearing from you.
Literally just DM us hi if you like. We're just friendly. We have no lives.
Yeah.
We research murder every week.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Life. We dig. I was researching this one on my private browser because I was like, let me see these fucking photos.
You on your incognito. Oh, God.
And also like your boyfriend's like, what are you doing?
Especially because
I'm just researching for the future.
Like, up at like 2 a.m. just like looking at
how Jodi Arias do it.
Oh my God. So crazy. So, but talk to us. We're people. Yeah. Leave a review. Send us screenshots of those too.
We'll put up your nice reviews.
Yeah.
We'll put up nice ones.
Yeah. On our Instagram. So.
Maybe some of the mean ones. No, just kidding. I don't read the mean ones.
I do. And they're stupid.
Mm-hmm. Also, one thing you guys should do as well is DM us sign up options. We still have not found a good one.
Yeah.
So we're just literally you guys are very good. Yeah. We're just taking all your suggestions.
A different one every time.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. So today's sign off comes from MSSoko_, and that's the tea.
Betches.